In the name of God, who leads us into all truth. Amen. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If that scripture sounds familiar, like you've just heard it, you just did. It's been used a couple of times in the last few weeks in the lectionary. Came to us on Maundy Thursday. Maundy means commandment. And I picked that up on the second Sunday of Easter to say that word means mandate. The mandate to love. And it's this inner mandate that comes out of us. That's when it really gets powerful, as it spreads itself in the world. And as it resonates with what is deepest in our hearts. So now it comes up one more time. So I want to just put it at the banner of the page to say this is what orients us and grounds us and directs us, this mandate to love. And the scriptures today all kind of reflect on it in their own quirky way as a framework to tell us how we do that. So starting with the Revelation, we picked this up last week. The early Christians framed their world by looking at the end of time when God fulfills everything, gathered around the throne. And they looked at that fulfillment as heaven, the kingdom of God, but they weren't just waiting for it. Like, we'll wait to the end of time to get it. But that they saw that as coming to them in this time and themselves as the conduits of that. Look at the language that is used in that Revelation reading. They don't go to heaven. Heaven comes to earth. They are finding that, again, not at the end of time, but now, living it out now. They are kind of the plants of a new humanity in this moment. And living out of this mandate, this radical filter of loving, not just the easy things to love, but stretching that love out to include absolutely everything, which is what shows up in the Gospel of Acts as this pipeline of heaven to earth moment. It comes in the form of a vision. In Peter's vision, where he's reciting it back, it's also a snapshot of one of the church's first big fights, where they're trying to figure out who belongs. Is this just something, this Jesus sect thing, something for Jewish believers, the covenant, or can Gentiles participate in this? And Peter's coming back from the coast with his comrades, and already the news has made it to Jerusalem, and the church is furious that he has opened the doors to outsiders without their permission. Peter kind of shrugs and says, well, let me tell you what happened to me. I didn't expect this either. And recites again his vision of this sheet, this net coming down from heaven, full of everything that didn't belong religiously. Essentially, everything that couldn't be sacrificed and eaten was in that net, every creature. The voice saying, there it is, kill and eat. And like, this is temptation, absolutely not. And then the voice says, do not call unclean what I have called clean. And then there's this knock at the door. And the men of the centurion Cornelius are there saying, will you come and talk to this guy? And then Peter says, this voice comes again. The Spirit says, go with them and do not make a distinction between them and us. That's good theology. Part of what makes it so good is that Peter discovers that the religious requirements that he thought were what God wanted weren't in fact what God wanted. That what God does is draw this line around and including all the people we thought didn't belong. The other thing I notice about Peter's encounter, this heaven coming to earth encounter moment, is that while his vision of this happens at home, kind of in church, that the action and transformation of it happens out there, way down the coast in Joppa. This is what the Reverend Stephanie Spellers was telling us a few weeks ago when she came to speak to us about hospitality, saying that it was an incredibly important chapter in the church's revival to say the doors have to be open. People have to really feel like they are welcome here. But that the next wave of revelation and growth and insight was probably going to happen out there. And far enough out there among people who would never think they could belong in a church, no matter how wide the doors open were open. Which might seem unsettling to us at first, because it implies a kind of radical change of how do we get from in here to out there? And yes, change is always a part of our journey, as Peter's experience shows. But I actually think we have been doing that for a long time, and just need to embrace it and go with it, go on this wild ride that we're on, that Peter is on without knowing it. So we just celebrated Earth Day on the Green last month out in front of our church here. St. Paul's helped to organize that. It was a principal organizer in this event that gathered 24 or more community organizations together around common cause. And what I found most striking was that as I looked out at that crowd of a couple hundred people and all those tables and organizations, I saw St. Paul's faces dotted all through that group. But not as spectators, actually as leaders of many of those organizations. We're embedded there in the community. The scriptural image that gets used for that is kind of like yeast in the dough. It's small. It's small, and it's out there, but it has this huge effect. Pipelines from heaven into earth, bringing a different way of being into this world now. Loving in this extraordinary and daring way. So I don't know if you listen to the news this morning, but once more, there has been this deadly shooting, 10 dead in Buffalo. And that will not end the way we have chosen to organize ourselves and the way we love ours and hate theirs. That is why that is happening. It has infected our hearts at that deepest level that we call original sin. But that is not the only way. And it is just this way of living and loving at these difficult degrees, especially of unloving those we don't like, loving those we don't like, that starts to change the equation. That is heaven coming to earth. That has always been the way the world has changed. Policy matters a lot. It must happen. But it's policy grounded on a changed heart. And it doesn't have to be everybody. It just has to be a critical mass, like yeast. It's a very small percentage of the loaf. But it has an effect. It changes everything. I think it's safe to say that nobody expected what happened in the book of Acts. Nobody expected this huge change in their life together. Peter didn't. Paul didn't. They were all overtaken by something bigger than what they had imagined. And that is still happening today. We are all being overtaken by something bigger than we had imagined. God is up to something huge. It's happening in our own day. Think back to 1950 and what we thought was normal and right. That is, a lot has changed since then, even if we have not fully embodied and achieved it. And can we assume that this just will keep going? That God's vision will always be bigger than ours, always calling us to change and grow, to take a deep breath and say, okay, let's go. God will always be blowing doors off hinges. And isn't that the world that we want to live in, even though it's uncomfortable? This deep liberation. Love one another as I have loved you. That's how the world knows it's real. And it's how heaven comes down to earth. It is this stretch of love that is beyond our capacity at first. That's more than we imagined we could do. Embracing the people we do not like and would rather not have around. That's exactly what God is lowering into our lives as an opportunity. To be honest, I sometimes wish it were not that way. I wish it were easier to love. But I am glad that the call is exactly what it is, to stretch and embrace everything and everyone, because at the heart of it all, that is how God loves us, embraces all of us completely, fully, always. So now in the light of resurrection, that's what we pass on. We pipe from heaven into earth. The love of heaven is made real here and now, on earth as in heaven. Amen.